let's try to go and have a thought or two that will help us. So you may want to turn, if you already did, read Psalm 121. And Psalm 121 has to do with a song of decrees, of praise. And the remnant would look to this psalm and sing it. Now, keep in mind, if you would, in Genesis 11 and 1, you don't have to turn there, after the Genesis flood, they went and built the Tower of Babel. And the tower and the city began, the two items. Cain had a city, and the city was repeated after the Genesis flood. And there was a city in the Tower of Babel, a city, and a tower for religious. So there's politic and religious. So we are substituting. We got God out of the picture. We're going to govern everything all by our lonesome. And we aren't going to honor God as the creator and the savior. We're going to go and honor that which we want to imagine and we want to give credit to. And so they did that. Now, when you come thus, and the tower, think of going up, the build up closer to the stars, closer to the different things in the sky that they worshipped, all kinds of things, and they looked to that. And in the process of that, they built cities and religion cities. And where do they put religious items? They usually looked for the high places, hills, not valleys, hills, etc. And they put their idols and their imagery on the hills, and they went to worship the imagery at that time. Now they did all of that. Now, so here's Jerusalem, and here are the Jews. And the Jews should have known, and they did at that time, the remnant, and they looked to God. Now, how did they look? Here's all the world around them, looking at the high places and the hills and the idols and stars and sun and moon and all of that. They did that. But Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, I should say, and the Jews. So 121, verse 1, the heart of the believer is going to say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, so God, you're looking for help. And then, he will not suffer my foot to be moved. He keeps Israel. He's always on the job. He keeps, and no matter what time, no matter what day, no matter what the conditions, God will preserve me from evil. Verse 7, he'll preserve my soul, preserve my going out and my coming in. And you'll remember in Deuteronomy 28, that is just what God said he would do to Israel as a nation. If they would honor God and follow God's word, God would bless them. And he'd bless their going out. He'd bless their coming in. And that's what you have here in Psalm 121, verse 8. I'll bless them when they go out. I'll bless them when they come in. Now that's an awesome, awesome, and we've shared all that. But no matter what they did, God would be there to be an ever-present help. Now, so therefore, God, Psalm 1, he's my help, cometh my help, cometh from the Lord. Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord. And because my going in and my coming out, verse 8, God is with me at all times. God is going to bless me, my coming out and my coming in. Now, having said that, the little word help that you have there in verse 1 and verse 2, the first help, to come to the aid, strength to invigorate, to help, to aid, to succor, to come to the aid of something, to be an ally, to be an asset, to have God, here we are. God is there. So where are we looking? We are looking to the hills out there, and as where all the idols are. No, we're going to look to the Lord. Look at the hills, and we're going to go right past all that idolatry, straight to the God of heaven. And we're going to look to the God of heaven to deal with us and to bless us. Bless our going out and bless our coming in. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now, God, you're an ever-present help. Now, let's just consider looking down, here's God's word, Genesis to Revelation, and God, we're looking down, and you're an ever-present help, not only to Abraham, Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the way, you're an ever-present help. So God, I want to understand this business of you helping, you help. So if we look to you, from whence cometh our help, you are going to be a helper. Therefore, I want to understand what you're saying in Psalm 121, I look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, not from the trees and not from the idolatry. Over to Jeremiah chapter 3. And we want to get an understanding of God's wonderful business of being a help. And their understanding. Chapter 3. In Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. And going, if I can, to verse 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So God, we're going to look to you. We are looking to that which man can create and build and worship. We are looking to that. We're looking to you, the only creator, the only God. Now, having said that, and while you're here, back over if you would, why not? Psalm 33. So we don't want to do what the Israelites were told not to do. They were told not to worship the hills and the idols, etc. Psalm 33, God, I want to understand this business of helping. Helping, an ally, an asset to come to the aid. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men, and from the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, sliding down, verse 16, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. So all human means and human ingenuity is not going to succeed. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. So no matter what, think of Sunday school, no matter what the conditions, no matter what anything, God, you are not governed by the conditions, the circumstances, or anything. You're an ever-present help. Our going in and our coming out. You don't have to say, well, look at the weather, look at the government, look at the world. You can do all of that. But God, it isn't governed by that. Your dealing with the human heart is based on the fact of your grace and of your mercy. And therefore, we look to you. So whether it's easy or hard, much or little, God, you're an ever-present help. I am. And I want you to know, whether it's famine, God, could you keep Abraham in famine? Absolutely. It has nothing to do with food. My wonder, your relationship to Almighty God, think of Sunday school, has nothing to do with food. It has to do with his wonderful person in whose presence we sit this morning. Now, therefore, verse 20, our soul, since all of that is true and more, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help, there's your little word, and our shield, God. So we're going to look to you. We aren't going to get caught up in something that we shouldn't, in a way that we shouldn't. Now, having said that, over if you would move in looking down at the scriptures in the light of God's wonderful working, Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. And we want to get some more information about this business of God being an ever-present help. And here is Isaiah 63. And in Isaiah 63, may I go, to pick up the thought, if I can, in verse 5. I looked, here's our Lord, remember, looking, he's telling about the coming of Christ to die on the cross. Verse 4, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. God's looking for his, giving a projection of his wonderful future, of what he's going to do. Verse 5, what does he say? Why did he have to go to the cross? Why does he have to fix the wrong? That is, how is he going to fix the wrong and make it right? He himself will have to do it. And I looked, verse 5, and there was none to help. And I wondered, and there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. Now, God, you're going to go and do it yourself. So, what did we just read? I'm going to look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from where? From God. Who else helps? No one helps. God said, listen, there are no help. No one can do what I do, said God. No one can do that. I do it. Therefore, God, you understand, you make it clear that you do it. We have to catch up and see that. Now, having said that, in Isaiah 63, remember the 10 tribes in the north, they go into the Assyrian captivity. Hosea chapter 13. And in Hosea chapter 13, picking up if I can, and you would recall, remember Hosea speaking to 10 tribes in the north as they go into the Assyrian captivity. Now, picking up just a little bit of the context, Hosea chapter 13, verse 4, yet I am the Lord thy God, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. I'm the only one. Verse 5. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. They had all the treasure, all the pleasure, all the wonderful benefits, and they left God out of the picture, the benefactor. So they're trying to enjoy the benefits without the benefactor, without God. And you can't do that. It requires God. Therefore, sliding down, if I can, to verse 9. O Israel, remember, they left God out. That's why they're going in captivity. Verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I'm the only one. No one else is going to help you. You have to understand. The whole world's got all their idols and everyone's going to help and help and help and help. But hold it, when my job will help me, my health, my pills, my family, my friends, my whatever. No, when it's all done, they're going to fail. There's no way they can be it. They can't be God, the Savior, the Creator. They can't be. Therefore, verse 10, I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee? In all thy cities and thy judges, of whom thou sayest, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger. That's King Saul, the first king. Remember, we want to be like other nations. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Here in Hosea chapter 13, verse 11, I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. Now, God said I did all of that. But I want you to know, when I allow things in your life that are less than who I am, I allow that. But I want you to know when it's done, you're going to end up with me. Because there's no one to replace me, said God, except me. So if you don't mind, I'm the helper. But help, no, there is no one. But I'm going to let you find it out. I'm going to let you find it out. I'm the only helper. I am. I'm the only God. Only Savior. Wow. Now, having said that, illustrate it. All right. Over to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 26. And Isaiah. And in chapter 26, may I start in verse 5 for a little context. Second Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, and had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord God, as long as he sought the Lord God, made him to prosper. So that's true. I'll bless you when you go out, and I'll bless you when you come in. Verse 6. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the walls of Gath and the walls of Jabin, and the walls of Ashdod, and the built cities about Ashdod, and among the Philistines. Verse 7. Here's your little word. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians that dwelt in Gur Baal, and in Mahanaim. Now, God, you helped him. That's right. That's why. Why could he do it? Because you helped him. You helped him. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that, to come to an aid, to come to support, that's what the word means, to come, to make, to be a helper, to firmly bring things together, to make them solid. Chapter 26 and in verse 13. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500, and that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Wow, there's your little word, looking to help. Verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks. That means he's preparing the city to fight, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, far abroad, for reason he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And God, you kept blessing him. That's right. I'll bless you going in. I'll bless you going out. I'm an ever-present help. And you're looking to me. And he did. And he was able to go against all odds, as you'll see in a minute. Now, but then that went and said, boy, like Lucifer, son of the morning, in Isaiah 14 and that, he claimed, well, all this beauty that Lucifer, son of the morning, had, Satan, he claimed it. It must be me. And it wasn't him. It was God, wonderful, making him so beautiful. Why were you able to do this? Because God made the king strong. That's why. Against all odds. Who gets the glory? God does. But, verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense instead of the priest, etc., etc. He didn't do what he should have done. He didn't understand. God gets the credit, and you have to maintain the order. King is not a priest. He went and violated it. He didn't have to eat what he needed to do to say it in a simple way for us. You need to go and trust God on a consistent basis. When you have everything's great, thank God for it. Stay straight. When everything's terrible, stay straight and trust God. God's an ever-present help. Don't ride the roller coaster, because then you'll go down. When you're going down, you're going to get depressed. And when you're going to go up, you're going to get all excited and proud and full of self. So don't go up and don't go down. Learn to stay steady. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, chapter 26, verse 16. Go with me, please, over to 2 Chronicles, going backwards, chapter 24. 2 Chronicles, chapter 24. Well, let me just, for time's sake, go to chapter 14. For time's sake, not that we're governed by time. Chapter 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. Now remember now, here's Asa. And look at each. God, were you always to be counted on? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't. You have to look to God. Chapter 14, verse 1. And Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now, and took away the altars and strange gods and the high places up in the hills again, and break down the images and cut down the groves, the forests, the trees, all of the idolatrous stuff, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. All of that, wonderful, wonderful. Verse 8. Now, and Asa had an army of men that bare target and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All of these were mighty men of valor. Now, would you say that is that's a pretty big army, isn't it? 300, 450, wow. That's almost 1,000,000, wow, a lot. But, verse 9, and there came out against them Zara, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000, that's 1,000,000. And 300 chariots came unto Mehresha. That's a lot. And then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha and Mehresha. Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord. Remember, the battle's about to begin. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, there's your little word, whether with many or with them that have no power to help us. O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against us. God, that we just said it a minute ago, it doesn't matter whether you have a zillion men or no men, whether there's 1,000 chariots or one chariot, it doesn't make any difference. God, that's what he understood. Did you understand that about God? God isn't governed by the weather. God isn't governed by conditions. God isn't governed by might and by power from a human standpoint at all. And the king knew that. So when you're looking to God in the midst of your heart and your problem, work at home, at school, you're looking to God. And then you don't measure it and say, well, it's too little, too little. My dad, when he was alive a long time ago, my dad used to say, I used to try to help him because he was raised in a Methodist church like I was. And in the process, I'd try to tell him, I said, Dad, you need to just thank God. And so, thank God. Just God cares about your whole, from the top of your head to the end of your big toe. God cares. God is involved. He has taken, you received him as your Savior. And he is now your life. The body now belongs to him. And I want you to know that little, your toothache, the tooth you have, your toothache is now his toothache. And he shares your toothache. The tooth belongs to him. And I want you to trust him. Don't say it's too little. That's my point. It's too little. Nothing's too little. Think of the little bugs that are right here now. I can't kill them, but here they are. And they're there. Microscope. Wow. Whole life all over the place. That's awful small, isn't it? Aren't bugs small? Bugs are beautiful. Look at a little bug, the color and their intricacies. They're created in awesome ways to do awesome things, and they're beautiful in colors often. Now, they're awful little. Now, you look awful big compared to a little bug, don't you? Most of you? An ant. And you. You're big. That's right. The bug is little. God said, listen, I want you to know the smallest bug I create, and I know all about all of those creation, all of that creation. And you have I made very special. So there's nothing little. There's nothing too little. No bug, no little sparrow. Think of Matthew 10, the hair, a hair on your head cannot fall off without me knowing it. Now, so don't tell me, don't say, well, it's too little to bother with, God. No, on the contrary. There's nothing too little. That's the point. There's nothing too little at all. And there's nothing too big. I got cancer all over. Maybe. But be of good cheer. God has the cancer the same as you do. And he has to fix it if he wants to. If he wants to, he will. And be of good cheer. The cancer isn't bigger than God. Nothing's bigger than God. So whether it's little or big. And that's what Asa said. Asa said, I understand God. Understand, I'm not going to go out there to get help. Out there, as he said, they're out there, they want to help this, but God, no, nothing can replace you at whatsoever. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, nothing can help. Verse chapter 12. So all we're doing is looking, God, you, page after page of history, and you're there, an ever-present help, in a most wonderful way. Here's 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. It came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. So he shouldn't have done that, but he did. He left God's word and left God. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of the king Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and because they had transgressed against the Lord, with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Libyans and the Sukkiams, and the Ethiopians, and he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. In the process of doing all of that, now coming there, verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, but Rehoboam was not one, and 40 years did he begin to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. And the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, and Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And he didn't do it. God was an ever-present help. He just chose not to do it. He didn't do it. He should have done it, but he didn't. Now, so you can go, the kings that looked to God found God an ever-present help. The people that didn't look to God didn't find him at all, and they lost. It was a simple thing. And my eyes are ever to the Lord, from whence cometh my help. Psalm 124. Now looking, Psalm 124, and sliding over, if I can, in the light of time, over to verse 7. What are you going to tell us, David? Verse 7. For our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Now, so here's David. The bird, like birds, getting trapped by the huntsman, they have escaped, and they have free. And that's what David said. The reason, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So God, David, who helps you all the time, even when we were caught in a trap, tricked, deceived, the enemy has us. But it doesn't matter. God is an ever-present help in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, here we are to look to you with all our heart and soul. Now, God, now, over, if you would, while you're in Psalm, why not? Psalm 28. And over and over again, from page after page, God, you're going to keep telling us of your wonderful, wonderful helpfulness if we would but trust thee. And that's what we need to do. Psalm 124, if I can, in verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. I am helped, therefore. My heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise him. The Lord, verse 8. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of the anointed. Verse 9, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. So David, you're looking to God to lift up, to help, to be an ever-present help. And God, that's what you want to do. And we read that in verse 7. I am helped, therefore, in my heart. So God, you're able to go and be an awesome help. You've made it known all through history in every way, shape, and form. Now, over to Isaiah 41. In tying it together a little bit. God, let's say it to us so we can understand Israel's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful success if they would trust God. And you have memorized this psalm, verse, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Why not? For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. There's your little word. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, God, you said all of the, fear not, don't be dismayed. You're going to strengthen us. You're going to help us. And you're going to be right there next to us, holding us up. Well, now, sliding down, Israel, did God understand about the human heart and frailty and our inconsistencies? Yes. 4, verse 13, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. So you've got to tell them. And, verse 14, Fear not, thou worm Jacob, amen of Israel, I will help thee. See, I know all about your frailness, your littleness. I know all about the conditions. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So God, can you be counted on? Absolutely. Absolutely, God. No question about it. You are utterly, utterly, wonderfully dependable. Now, sliding over to Psalm 46, which you know. And God's going to say it again in a little different way. Psalm 46. And you would recall in verse 1, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Wow. Psalm 121, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Psalm 46, you are an ever-present help. No question about it. Wow. Now, sliding along down to verse 5. God in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help, there's your word, help her, and that right early. God, you're going to be a helper, and God, you're going to be late. No. Look at verse 3. I didn't mean to go that fast. Though the waters, 46:3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, wow, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter about anything. If you're going to trust me, then trust me. Just do it, and it'll work. No matter how you cut the cookie, it just works. Now, sliding over if I can while you're here, and verse 11. The Lord, I'll read verse 10 since you know it. Be still, cease. Remember the word verb to be still means to cause, causative, cause yourself to be still. Quiet. Be still, quiet. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Now, God, here we are to be still and know you're an ever-present help. And we shared together on that little word, to be still. And we looked at it in different places to see it, its magnificence. And remember, God said, don't, to say it, be still. Quiet, don't try to help me. Don't try to help me. You can't help me. So don't try to do that. Just let me be God. God, you're God, and I'm me, and I'm able to add and give some extra stuff to make it work. And God said, listen, be still and know that I am God. Shh, quiet. I'm an ever-present help. Don't help me be. It'd be like the surgeon. Think of the surgeon going to cut you in there, whatever. And the surgeon, and he has this thing. And say, doc, I'll try to be of help here whatever way I can. And the doctor smiles at you. and tells the guy that's next to you there shooting you in the arm, give him another shot. And before you can say boo, boom, you're all gone. See, the doctor said, I wish to keep him quiet. I'm the doctor. Let me do the surgery and let you just be the victim. Just lay there and let me do the surgery. God, that's what you want. It is. Closing, over if you would to Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Again, you're familiar with verse 5. 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. Don't get all caught up in having and not having in the wrong way. Be content with such things as you have. Now why? For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember, there's five negatives in that. Five negatives. God said, I don't know how to say it more solidly, I will never, 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 never forsake you. I'm always an ever-present help. Now, hang on to that. And I'm there. I'm always there. Now, what's the next thing you would think, and rightly so, that he's going to say? Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I do not need to be afraid. I do not need to be alone. I do not need to be overcome. I do not need to be depressed, discouraged, disappointed, or anything else. I need to look to you, God, because you are always going to be here wherever I am, you is. Wow. Wow. You'll never leave. That's what I said. Therefore, what must we conclude? You are an ever-present help. If you have, here's a glass of water, glass of water. And I say, oh boy, I could get thirsty. But if the glass is always with me, the glass would say, you're never going to be without me. And when I'm an ever thirst quencher. I'm an ever thirst quencher. That's what I do. God, you're an ever present help. That's right. Now, got that part? Now put that together in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. And may I pick up, please, I'm going to pick it up in directly verse 18. 2 and 18 Hebrews. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, tested, put on trial, proven, he is able, since he has proven himself to be the perfect Savior, a wonderful helper, he is able to succor, to come to the aid of them that are tempted and tested. So God, there's no one anywhere that God, being tested, if we know you and going to trust you, that you are, no matter what, you're able to come to tempted. He is able to succor, to come to their aid. So God, that's what you just read. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We look to you, our ever-present help. You aren't going to be, you're going to be a helper in the thick and the thin. Closing chapter 4. And you would recall, you use it in understanding. Chapter 4, verse 15, to pick up what we just said. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our humanness, but was in all points tempted, put on trial, proven, like as we are. We're all going through it, and he did. Yet he did it without sin to be a perfect Savior. Verse 16, therefore, times. Therefore, God will look unto you from whence cometh my help. Let us, verse 16, therefore, come boldly, fearless, fear, without fear, frustration, frankness, coming to God, unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace. And then, you know, to help in time of need. There's never going to be a time that I'm not the helper. Ever. If you look to me. But, we got a lot of solutions. No, I don't want you to be still and know that I am God. Don't help me. Honor me. Honor me. Well, that's a little fill-in for our snowy day. I hope it helped. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. We thank you for your presence. We think of the people and all the different things, our God, and the weather and the conditions. God, give safety and health and everything else. So here we are, God. We're able to be here. And God, make it work for us. We can never be in your presence without the benefits. And our God, we thank you very much for it. So, for the day, for the weather, for all that lies ahead, to the extent of the weather, God, thou knowest. So, we're looking to you, and if you should tarry and we should live, God, here's the day. Let's see it outwork itself. In your grace and in your kindness. And we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.